In this week's episode, we uncover a series of perplexing events that have left witnesses and skeptics alike questioning the very fabric of our reality. Our first stop takes us to the breathtaking island of Puerto Rico, where an astonishing humanoid sighting has sent shockwaves through the local community. But that's not all. We then dive headfirst into the shadowy world of the Men in Black, those notorious figures whose presence instills fear and fascination in equal measure. And finally, we delve into the mind-bending phenomenon known as the Mandela Effect, a perplexing twist of memory that challenges our perceptions of reality. Prepare yourselves, dear listeners, as we journey down these strange pathways, peering into the abyss of the unexplained. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Strange Pathways. I am your host, Scott Mort. Thank you for being patient with me. It seems more and more I'm getting these out a day late or so. Life has just been life. My lovely wife Ariana is going back to her home country of the Bahamas for 2 weeks to visit family and friends. Last night, Sunday night, the nights I usually record, that was our last night together before we took the arduous journey to the Pittsburgh International Airport. I wanted to spend that time with her. I'm kind of a rarity amongst most of the people I know that are married in that I have married my best friend. If you can do that, I strongly suggest you do that. Every night is like a sleepover. Every night is filled with laughter and fun and love. And being that I'm going to be away from her for 2 weeks, and we will video chat and what have you, but being that I'm going to be away from her for 2 weeks, I wanted to get all that time I can. I hope you understand. I do apologize for the lateness of this episode, but on to this week's tales. Our first tale is going to take us to Tuesday, July 12th, 1977, Quebradillas, Puerto Rico. At around 8:30, 9 o'clock p.m., Señor Adrian de Olmos was resting on his balcony. It had been a hard day, and he was just taking in that beautiful evening air. Suddenly, Adrian sees something come out from the grounds of the farm opposite of his house. It's a small figure, and it steps out from the darkness, passes under a barbed wire fence. At first, Adrian is thinking to himself, this is a child, something playing over there. But then he kind of gets a better look at this creature. And being that the way it's dressed is odd, he realizes that he probably shouldn't approach whatever this is. Now, this entity walked in a very normal way towards a street lamp. Now, this street lamp, it's a public street lamp. It's right out in front of Adrian's house. At this point, Adrian, he wants witnesses, so he calls out to his daughter, Irasima. This entity is moving, albeit cautiously, but it is moving towards that lamp. Adrian says, "Irasima, please bring me a pencil and a paper." His idea is that he's going to make a sketch of this entity right then and there. He tells her, just turn on the switch to the living room. Irasima, though, makes a mistake. The switch, you know, it's one of those double switches where it's like off is in the middle, up is one room, down is another. And and Irasima accidentally turns on the outside balcony light. When this creature sees that light turn on, it gets scared. It looks upwards at the street lamp. Adrian gets the feeling that it's looking for something. Energy, electricity, sustenance. That's why it was heading towards that lamp. In this being's right hand, it's carrying a small, shiny object. The light from Adrian's house was reflected off of a glass in this creature's helmet. And this helmet is shining with an amazing brightness. But the minute that the balcony light went on, the entity ran instantly back towards the barbed wire fence. It passes underneath the wire, and it stops. It places its hands on the front part of its belt, and then a thing that it has on its back lights up. It emits a sound not unlike an electric drill, and then this entity rises up into the air and floats off towards the trees. By that time, though, the neighbors, members of Adrian's family, they were coming to see what was going on. And for about 10 minutes, this huge group of people, they all see lights moving from tree to tree on the farm until finally they vanish from sight. Later, Adrian would give an incredibly descriptive account of this entity. It was about 3.5 feet tall. The proportions of its body were normal, except its arms. The arms were shorter than they should be. The entire body was covered in a green garment, which seemed to be filled with air. It didn't cling to the body. The head itself, covered by that helmet, the helmet seemed to be metallic, but the top of it, it ended in a sort of antenna with a little light or a flame at its tip. From each side of the helmet, there were things sticking out that seemed like pointed ears. This helmet was joined onto the clothing by a dark band at the level of the neck. It had some sort of glass in the front of it, running down from the forehead to the neck. And this glass, as we said before, it reflected the light from the street lamp so vividly that it made it impossible for Adrian to see the creature's face. After this entity and these lights had vanished, the whole neighborhood noticed that the cattle on the farm were acting very, very oddly. They were running to and fro, bellowing out. A number of the dogs in the neighborhood, including Adrian's own dog, Luli, were barking madly in the direction of the farm. Two police patrolmen, Johnny Ramos and William Castro, they arrived on the scene. Now, this will be the first of two visits by the Puerto Rican police. Ramos and Castro encountered a neighborhood in panic. Mothers were afraid that their children were going to be carried off. Men were afraid of attacks. So the police posted guards. These guards remained on duty until the dawn came. Puerto Rico, a small island. The next day, news of this event spread, and the scene was invaded with hundreds and hundreds of curious people. Most of the pupils from the local school actually came by. That same day, radio stations reported the encounter. The local newspaper, El Vocero, carried a report of it on the following Friday, July 15th. Even though the local police had made an extensive investigation, no explanation had ever been given for the encounter. But the effects of this encounter would persist for 2 days after this close encounter. Adrian was unable to eat. It was a sour stomach. Adrian was also nervy and edgy, especially towards his wife. His son, Rafael Edgardo, who was 15 at the time, found a footprint. This footprint, a picture of it, did appear in El Vocero, but the picture is not really clear enough to show any details. Another footprint found on the farm was erased by rain and the visitors before any attempt could be made to photograph it or take a mold of it. Other witnesses start to come forward. An elderly female neighbor who remained anonymous reported on Sunday, July 10th, 2 days before Adrian saw this humanoid, she saw a ball of light fall from the sky in the same area as Adrian's encounter. Another ranch owner in the same district reported that on the same night as Adrian de Alamos' sighting, all his cattle were just in a state of terror, dashing themselves against the fences, trying to escape, so much so that they wounded themselves. All in all, at least 10 people were willing to come forward and say they saw something and also put their names to it. Marvel Gonzalez, Daniela Gonzalez, Josefina Gonzalez, Luis Cortez, Carlos Cortez, Iris Cortez, Mercedes Medina de Leon, Minerva Luego, Betsueda Luego, I'm sure I'm butchering that, and Iva Mina Luego. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. And those are only the named witnesses. A lot more came forward, just staying anonymous. The sheer number of witnesses makes me believe that this was an honest-to-God, genuine event. These people saw what they saw. Adrian, so much so that he was able to sketch out an image of it. And if you head over to either our Twitter, our Instagram, or our Facebook page, I'll make sure to put up that sketch of this humanoid entity. It's incredibly fascinating. And if I would have to put money down, 100% true. Our next tale takes place just outside of Houston, Texas, October 21st, 2021. Our witness has decided to go by the name W. W and his wife were at home in their backyard. It was a beautifully cloudy day. As W and his wife are just enjoying the day, staring at the clouds, W notices one cloud stop, which is a bit odd because the rest move on. W points it out to his wife, says, keep an eye on that. The cloud begins to swirl and swirl until it opens. Now, W is not sure if this was a portal, but definitely the sight grabbed his attention. Three beings fly out of the opening of the portal. And then, right there in front of W and his wife, these beings transform into humans. They're light-skinned, they have long hair, and black-fitted outfits. W actually said they reminded him of the bad guys from Superman 2, Zod and what have you. These three entities hovered in front of this portal. They looked like they were checking something. W and his wife then notice windows of a craft and a doorway to a ship open up. There are other beings in the background of the doorway. It's almost as if these beings are riding on a subway train. Two of these three human-like figures go back inside and walk down a stairway into the inside, fading down as they went down the stairs. The remaining figure, though, the remaining figure locked eyes with W and his wife. W kind of had this feeling that these creatures were intentionally showing themselves. The last figure flies inside the portal, enters the craft's doorway, touches the open part of the portal, swipes it with his hand, and the portal begins to close. The cloud once again begins to swirl, fades away, and just vanishes, leaving W and his wife stunned. It was the topic of conversation for the next hour. Until a black SUV pulls into W's driveway. Two men, dressed in all black clothing and sunglasses, get out of the SUV and walk towards W and his wife. We all know where this is going, don't we? W and his wife are shocked. The lead man goes up to W. And even though they say, "Hey, can we help you?" They don't say anything. Immediately, that lead man goes, "Did you report what you witnessed in the sky?" They say, "No." "No, we didn't, but who are you?" No answer. Both of these men in black turn around, get back into the SUV, and pull away. That was the last time either W or his wife saw them. Now, W did say that these men, rather this man, spoke in a monotone voice that was a bit high-pitched, weirdly opaque skin color. And then he thought to himself, the two men look like they could have been twins. It's fascinating to me, if I may take a little bit of an aside, how serious we are beginning to take the UFO phenomena. How many people who know a lot more than I do, are taking the position that these entities are not from other planets. They're not time travelers. These are interdimensional beings. There is a story that Jimmy Carter, whenever he was elected president, cried for 3 days whenever he was told the truth about UFOs. could it be? Could it be that the reason Carter cried for those 3 days was that he found out these beings were not aliens in the classical sense, but that these were interdimensional entities that existed not a million miles away from us, orbiting some star, but interacting with us. They could be in the same room with you right now. And much the way that we interfere with the lives of fish, which is probably the closest thing we can get to a two-dimensional creature on this planet. It's not really, though. Michio Kaku always uses a fish as an example of a two-dimensional creature because it just has forward, back, left, right, no up and down. That's not true. But are these creatures inhabiting the same space as us, controlling us, setting our lives onto a path we were never meant to take? Maybe the reason that there's so much strife and hatred and anger and abuse in this world is because they've manipulated us to be that. Because it amuses them. Because maybe they feed on that chaos. Our last tale comes to us from the X board on 4chan. It's an interesting place. That's all I'm going to say about the X board on 4chan. You're going to find a lot of good stuff. You're going to find a lot of strange stuff. And you're going to find a lot of odd stuff. There is constantly a thread going on the X boards on 4chan of, hey, how do I get a demon girlfriend? How can I charm a succubus to come to me at night? For the life of me, I will never understand why anyone would want to attract a succubus into their life. A demon that every time it copulates with you, drains part of your life essence until you're a husk? Hey, whatever. Don't bring that jazz over here. But more often than not, there is going to be something interesting on that export. Now, I found this. Oh, I want to say I found this October of last year. And I just saved it as a PDF on my computer, and I'm finally getting to it. Now, have you ever heard of Leslie Vernon? You'll see where I'm getting at with this. Most of you probably have not, but Leslie Vernon is a serial killer, a fictional serial killer, in a fantastic movie called Behind the Mask. If you want to see an amazing, beautifully well-done movie about slashers like Jason Voorhees and Freddy Krueger and Leatherface, it's a great movie to watch. The story is Leslie Vernon is the new up-and-coming serial killer, and a documentary crew is following him around. And he has a nemesis, played by Robert Englund, Freddy Krueger himself. So, my point is, there are a lot of B-movie horror films that are out there that I've never heard of, you've never heard of. So whenever I was reading this, I thought, oh, okay. But then it kind of flips on you. Bear with me here. The author of this post says that he always thought the Mandela effect stuff was fake. It was people misremembering something. It didn't really impact them. But he, a gentleman named Morris, this impacted him. At the end of elementary school, Morris started getting, not really teased, just kind of picked on a little bit, lightly, friendly, because he shared his name with a slasher movie serial killer. He went to see the movie himself. The plot of the movie was, in order to stop this guy, they need to figure out what his real name is. And then the heroes of the film find out that his name is Morris Knight. Dude thinks that's kind of a dumb name, but it's my name. The author's name is Morris. Time goes on. Every once in a while, it comes up again as they make more of the Morris Knight films. And one year in high school, Morris decides to go as Morris Knight for Halloween. Just to show people, I can make fun of myself. And people can laugh. 2022 comes around. It's close to Halloween. And Morris decides to re-watch the movie. Morris rewatches the Morris Knight film. And then he pauses it and realizes the name of this killer isn't Morris Knight. No, it's Freddy Krueger. The movie is A Nightmare on Elm Street. And Morris can't deal with it. It feels like, in his words, it feels like the world has ripped out from underneath of him. He's got one of those buddies. I'm one of those buddies. I'm not saying Morris contacted me, but he contacted somebody like me. His friend that he contacts totally believes ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, Mandela effect. And he tells him the story. Look, I watched this and I remember the serial killer in Nightmare on Elm Street sharing my name. My name is Morris. And his friend goes, dude, your name is Freddy. Morris / Freddy is totally confused. He checks his wallet. His name's not Morris. It's Frederick. How earth-shattering must that have been? Morris / Frederick calls his parents. He's absolutely out of his mind. They schedule a doctor's appointment for him. They're going to check. Maybe he's had a stroke. Maybe this is a psychotic break. Maybe there's a tumor in there. 2 days, several tests. He gets a call from a specialist. there's nothing wrong. There's no amnesia, no other mental issues. I think we all have the Mandela effect hit us in one way or another. Most people, they go with the Berenstain Bears, what have you. For me, personally, it's always going to be C-3PO's leg. C-3PO was solid gold whenever I was a kid. Three movies I watched. I had the toy, and you can go see the toy, and the toy is solid gold. So at what point did C-3PO get a silver leg? That's my own personal Mandela effect. When did that happen? But this, I mean, can it get more personal without it affecting your body? And what if this is the way the universe works? What if it's these little sideways blips in time that every day, our reality changes. And for the most part, our mind changes with it. Maybe it's the way that this reality has always worked. Or maybe this guy is just playing a game. Thank you for joining us once again here on Strange Pathways. If you are having mental health trouble, dealing with a paranormal incident, please reach out to the Opus Network at www.opusnetwork.org. Head over to our Twitter. It is Pathways Strange. TikTok, Strange Pathways Podcast, and the Instagram also, Strange Pathways Podcast. Head over to our Facebook as well. We will have images up dealing with the cases we had today. If you would like to, please email me at strangepathwaysmail@gmail.com. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe on our YouTube channel. Thank you once again for joining us this week on Strange Pathways. Take care of yourselves and each other.